Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio presents Holzer's Ghosts. And tonight we're talking The Devil in Texas. And this is a hell of an episode, pardon the pun, an amazing episode, and one that was probably the most terrifying for all of us to film and be a part of during season one. This was season one, episode four. And I know Bill Bean is supposed to join us. I think he can hear me, but I'm not able to hear him. So what I'm going to tell him is, Bill, if you can, try going in through your phone to the video chat here to be a part of the show. If you can do that, that would be great. And we'll include you. This story was powerful on so many different levels. Of course, following in the footsteps of famed paranormal investigator, Dr. Hans Holzer, going into a case, and very rarely did he have cases that he was unable to deal with, and I don't want to say appropriately, he always dealt appropriately, but sometimes he just couldn't help the family. And the family here were the Baird family in Tyler, Texas. And in 1968, they began dealing with all kinds of strange phenomena that was interrupting and bothering their child, Andy Beard. And it was really heart-wrenching to hear his story play out. Let me ask my wife to come grab my phone and help Reverend Bean connect here. So pardon me while I'm multitasking, folks. This is the joy of live TV and live broadcasting. He began subtly being oppressed and having some pretty dark issues with things. Dr. Holzer met with him, met with the family, heard the stories, and his suggestion was, I think it's something to do with this house, and you just need to get the hell out of this house. And they did. They bought a house across town and moved in. And shortly after they moved into that house, things got worse. And that was the last that Dr. Holzer had heard from them, because when he first checked in on them, things had settled down. There was no more activity taking place that they were reporting. It wasn't until 10 years later that Andy Beard's sister reached out to Hans Holzer to update him. And Amy wrote with the very sad news that the demonic had finally broken her brother, and he had taken his own life at the new house. And this was a case that haunted Dr. Holzer, haunted him until his death, as you heard Alexander Holzer discuss in this episode. It was truly heartbreaking to hear her side of the story and for her to come out and meet with us. She wanted to do this because as we were investigating this case, the producers had come to me and they were like, Dave, oh man, we've got this great case, but unfortunately it didn't end well. It's a great story. We'd love to tell it. And I said, well, what's the story? And they told me about the Devil in Texas case. And I said, you know, not for nothing, guys. I just started getting a stream of emails from a listener. And she's asking for help from anybody that can give it to her, dealing with something she believes to be the demonic realm. And maybe we could tell the story of Devil in Texas and then go help this family, knowing what happened before, knowing where the failings came in, not on Hans Holzer, but just in the follow-up between the family and Dr. Holzer and Dr. Holzer and the family. Maybe we could bring some help to this case. And the producers, to their credit, were willing to break the mold of simply investigating a Holzer file. We use the Holzer file as a springboard, and this was something new to the series. And it was exciting. It was liberating and exhilarating. And this opens up a lot of doors for different cases that Dr. Holzer was investigating. The case in its totality was very strange. There was what we refer to as poltergeist activity. Things would move on their own. And then they started having these strange deals. Now, Andy had been close to his mother. His mother took very ill. And we don't go into it too deeply into the episode, but it was, I think there was a debilitating mental issue that was taking place with the mom. And she had this very close, cohesive relationship with the son, nothing inappropriate, just mother and son connection. But when she moved out, they would suddenly get these notes that would drop out of the sky, literally drop. As they would be sitting there, suddenly a piece of paper would float down and they would open it up and there would be these messages. And upon looking at the messages, as you saw in the episode, I called and I said, could this be the, could this be nothing more than Andy playing tricks? Because these notes look very childish in writing and in scope, but hundreds of them came out. And, you know, part of the thought of Dr. Holzer was maybe these were psychic manifestations from his mother who was dealing with issues and his connection. And it was creating this, I don't know how else to say this, kind of cascading effect. I'm getting the message that Reverend Bean can hear and see me. So hopefully we'll connect with him and he'll be able to connect with me on this as well in a few seconds. But these letters would appear. And at first the letters seemed loving and affectionate. And then they started threatening and they started getting weird. And it didn't just stop there. We alluded by one little mention, but we didn't tell the actual story. There was a part where the phone would ring and Andy would be talking on the phone, supposedly to this spirit or this demon, and the father would be frustrated and, you know, you're Andy, you're not talking to anybody. And he would take the phone and he would hear the voice. He would hear this voice and he would unplug the phone from the wall and the phone would still ring. There would still be something trying to communicate. This is a powerful entity. This is something beyond just your average, everyday grandma's haunting the house ghost. There was something much deeper, much more terrifying to this story than really we even knew that they were scratching the surface of. The father, of course, also had a very close relationship with his son. And to let you know, I mean, in all respect for the family, we questioned everything. Was there any inappropriateness between mother and son or father and son? Because the father slept with the son for many years. And we asked for clarification. That's kind of weird. But then as a father myself, if things are messing with my child, and especially at night, and they're hearing things and voices in their room, yeah, damn right I'm going to sleep in that room. I'm going to find out what's going on. And this was the only way his son felt safe. But even with his father there, he wasn't safe. There would be hordes of bugs. They would turn off the lights. The room would be spotless. They would turn off the lights, get into bed, and then just a cacophony of sounds of buzzing crickets and flies. And they said it felt as though somebody was standing in the doorway with a bucket full of crickets and flies, throwing them at the two of them, Andy and his father. And the father would get up and turn on the light and there would be bugs everywhere. But the terrifying aspect of this, I mean, that's weird enough, but the bugs were dead and they weren't just dead. Have you ever stumbled upon the carcass of a cricket? It's been laying there maybe in the windowsill, sun's baked it. It's got that crispy, crunchy, peanut buttery flavor. No, it's just got that crispy, crunchy deal. That's what this was stepped on. And then they would clean up the room. They would clean up all these bugs and the father would take it out, throw it in the garbage, come in and they'd get back in bed, turn off the light and the stuff would start all over again. Sometimes you would have to clean that room two or three times a night. This was the beginning of oppression. This was trying to break both of them. And we're going to talk with our guest in a few moments, Reverend Bill Bean, who's been a longtime friend and supporter of Darkness Radio and of our programs. I knew that when we were facing this case and we might need big guns, we might need somebody that was better suited for this, that this was the man I wanted in our corner. Because for years on our show, when we have had people contact us that are at their wit's end, I've referred them to Reverend Bean. And I've never once had a complaint. I've never once had somebody come back to me and say, it didn't happen. It didn't take. So I knew this was our guy. And I ran that past them. And they're like, well, Dave, and we have to be very careful how we do this, but if you think this is what we're going to need, and I'm like, God, we're dealing with the possession guys. None of the three of us are strong enough to deal with this. We need someone with the background, with the training, the understanding, and the actual power behind it, right? If you remember that scene from Fright Night when Charlie I can't think of his name now, but the guy from Planet of the Apes, Roddy McDowall, holds the cross up to Christopher Sarandon, and it has no effect because, first of all, Roddy McDowall's character is Jewish, so the cross means nothing to him. It's powerless. It's a symbol, but it didn't have that power. So again, we go in, we have a faith and belief, but we're not fortified the way Reverend Bean was. So I wanted him to be a part of this, this case. But as we kept digging in and hearing this story, it was just terrifying, all the different aspects of it. I'm going to bring in our guest now. Hopefully we'll be able to hear him. We've been having some audio issues. Reverend Bean, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Can you hear me okay now, brother?
I've got you coming in loud and clear. Thank you.
God,
you
just might want to,
you might want to just flip that microphone down. Yeah. Unless you're somehow holographically talking through the top of your head, which I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm talking through my Yeti. I've got my Yeti mic.
Oh, here okay. In front of the... All right. I wasn't sure. Oh, it's a prop.
It's a mirror prop.
We'll get that Yeti a little closer to you because you sound a little far away. I just want to make sure we can hear that rich voice of yours.
How's that, brother?
Better, I believe. We'll find out as we go along. So, Bill, let's talk about the Baird case in Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
Ghosts, paranormal activity. A lot of people around the world have that, and it never goes beyond putting your keys down and finding them in another room. Just little more annoyances. That's kind of what we consider to be poltergeist activity. Leaving a room, coming in, and all the doors are open. But it doesn't always manifest or get bigger from there. This case steadily built. And let's talk about there's different levels before possession. And I only always remember oppression and possession. And I know there's another bit in there. So can you kind of walk us through that progression?
Yeah, there are different levels. You're exactly right. And really it starts, in my opinion, with something that either would take place in some type of traumatic way, and whether that would be some type of wicked and heinous act like a sexual crime or some type of severe abuse, which would be mental and or physical. We as human beings, all life, as a matter of fact, operates on frequency and vibration. So if something happens to cause the frequency and vibration of a person to go down, well, then that person is very susceptible and wide open to and for demonic attack. Now, in this case, I don't know what the origins could have been. I was listening to you about the, and I certainly hope it wasn't any type of inappropriate behavior taking place in that
right.
way.
We did clear that up. I mean, there was absolutely no inappropriate activity. There was a mother and son very close simply because that's mm-hmm. the bond mothers and sons share. There was a father trying to protect his son. But, there was never reports of this. And even when Andy was alone, he never reported anybody that this was going on. But these strange behaviors would happen to both him and his father. So it goes from this poltergeist moving activity to phone calls on disconnected phones. Yeah, letters, literally a porting and dropping out of the air.
Something really, really opened a doorway there, Dave. Something, we don't know what it is, But something opened the doorway there for this type of activity to manifest. And as it began to manifest, I think that it was an absolute attack. Now, when I say attack, you know, some people would equate that with a physical attack, which does happen. However, there are spiritual and mental attacks that take place as well. So when we go back to this case, we see that the mother was suffering from mental illness, and she left her husband and to seek, she left the children as well to seek psychiatric care. So right. I just wonder, you know, if that level of evil, you know, had some type of stronghold on her. So we have, back to what you were saying, and you're absolutely right about oppression and possession, we have obsession as well. So obsession is before the oppression. We have attachment. We have legal rights. We have demonic strongholds. So when I say a legal right, that is through invitation or invocation, willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly. It could be someone thinking that they're kidding around and they call on a spirit or an entity to come in. It could be someone playing with a Ouija board. It could be anything like that, because when someone is doing that, whether they think they're clowning around or not, if they are saying words that are, you know, on par with invitation, well, then that becomes invocation. And the devil will take that to God and say, look, I have a legal right to be there. They just called on me, whether they were kidding or not. And God will allow it because of free will. So I'm not saying this would happen in this case. I really don't know. But something had to have happened in order for that doorway to open in that manner to affect a mother and then son in such a horrific way.
All right, Bill, can we look at the fact that you mentioned earlier, and Carl Van Horn says the goal of possession is to break you down and get to your core.
Sure.
That's a very fair assessment. Yeah. And I do want to make mention some of the people in the chat room. Rhonda Brown says, Bill Bean is wonderful. He's helped me personally. That's, love again, him. Why we called on him. You know, backing you up, Sarah says, Reverend Bean is a great guy. I've heard great things. When you mentioned earlier, you hope that the fissure did not open because of inappropriate means. So yeah. Somebody that's dealing with PTSD from molestation or abuse, can they unwittingly or unknowingly then become, I hate to sound so trivial, but bait for the dark side, because their esteem, their level is so low?
Yes, and not only bait, but unfortunately, Dave, when these wicked and heinous acts take place, not only is the perpetrator under a demonic influence to, you know, perpetrate such a wicked and heinous act, then after the act has taken place, those demons will go on to the victim. And the reason that they will go on to the victim, well, there are several reasons, but the main reason, in my opinion, is they will go on to the victim because such a high level of trauma has been established. And then you have blood and secretions that come out of the pineal gland and the adrenal glands that attract demons like candy. They're attracted to it like candy. They will stay on the victim until someone like me comes along. Not that I'm any great thing. It's just that God works through me to do great things, and I praise him for that. So it would require someone like me to come along by the power of God working through them to expel these demons. I can't tell you. I've probably got a stack of cases, you know, this thick that involves such things that, you know, a person was molested in childhood. They carried it around for many years. And it, at some points of life, it became dormant. And yet in other times, through a very stressful period of time, something would activate that. And then, you know, physical attacks would manifest on the victim all over again. Just, it's a horrific cycle.
And we're going to tuck this away because we are going to revisit this when we discuss Lydia's case in a little bit. Charles Becker says, I thought the mother wasn't possessed, but had mental illnesses. Here's that razor's edge. And I think Bill can attest to this. Was she demonically influenced causing this breakdown? Was she maybe the first portal? Was she having things happen that she wasn't talking about that was causing stress and duress? And because of her connection with her son, this was opening up. So maybe it wasn't necessarily possession to her, but there was influence over her that was creating mental duress. Yeah. Perhaps it was just straight out mental duress. We don't have the luxury of going back in time to see where that happens. But talk to that, Bill, if you would. The thin line, division line between mental instability and demonic possession. How do we figure that out?
It's a razor thin line. So you're exactly on the mark. It's a razor thin line. So, and this applies to every one of us in life, that, you know, we have to stay on that very narrow center path. And if we veer to one side or the other, we could be in trouble. And, right. and that certainly applies to a person that may be having some mental issues. The devil knows this. So of course he's going to send demonic forces in to try and push this person over the edge to torment and attack them to the point to where at some point the devil hopes that the person will just give up. And I've had many cases like this as well, to where the person was so tormented, they couldn't endure it anymore. They just wanted to die, and they just gave up the will to live, the will to fight. And that's how a possession takes place. So
and that is sadly the end game for Andy Baird.
Yeah.
He got to the point where he was hearing the voices, his sister was hearing the voices, his father, people were hearing this around him. He was being tormented, and he knew the only way out, or I shouldn't say he knew, in his mind and instability because of this obsession and possession that was taking place. It broke him, and he wanted out. Kelly Griffey says, but at what point can you say it's not PK manifestation, and can't religious beliefs sometimes add to the effects and subconscious psychokinetic effects? That's a great question. We're going to hold that for later on in the episode, though. Okay. So Kelly, I wanted to speak it out loud right now so that you get noticed for this question. And we're going to tread on this a little later, because I believe that it plays an important role in part of Lydia's case. Amy Green says, my uncle knew this family. He went to the hospital to visit, and when he walked in the room, he said it was like a meat locker and the air conditioning wasn't even on.
I believe it.
Could you answer me something on this? That's something that I have a lot of people question me about. And I try to throw out physics, but I'm not that guy, right? Why is it that when a ghost is near or something demonic, first of all, demonic, you think it's going to be hotter than hell. Why does it get so cold? Do you understand that aspect?
My best understanding of it, Dave, would be that, you know, when something like this is coming in, what's coming in through a dimensional doorway. So just imagine, and I want to thank everybody out there that's tuned in with us. I truly appreciate your kind words as well. But imagine a doorway that we can't see. It's a dimensional doorway, call it a portal, call it whatever you want to call it. But it is there. Even though we can't see it, it's there and it opens. So perhaps when something like this opens, perhaps it's so cold on the other side. And when this presence comes through and manifests in that way, you have all that blast of cold air that has now come in from that open doorway. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's my best guesstimation on it.
Or the other side of that that coin that I've heard is that when that doorway opens, it sucks the energy in, which creates this vacuous feeling, which then gives you the cold spots or the cold.
And pop. You will hear a pop as well. And, and that's, you're absolutely right, brother. So it could be that. Now, I will say this. I have been involved in cases, and even in my own experiences, before I became the spiritual warrior, I was a victim. And even in my own case, I can also recall times to where the temperature was just, it just got boiling hot all of a sudden. And so I am familiar with that as well. So you have the other side of that to where, you know, yes, things could get very cold and it's like a meat locker. And then the other side is it can get super, super hot and then it's hard to breathe. And I have been there and experienced that. So again, my best guesstimation on that, it has to be associated in some way, shape, or form with A, the entity, or B, the way that the entity has come through. And you could be spot on that it is sucking you know, things out of there atmospherically.
Carrie White says, could the separation of the mother and son be the activation of the cause of the activity? Could that have been the trauma, that separation? Unfortunately, we don't know. Obviously, something was taking place.
Before
and you're
that,
right, when the separation took place, it seemed to intensify and grew for the family that was behind. Could it have been PK, mental manifestation, transmigration? I can't even say the word right now, but where the mother's projection to the family was influencing and affecting. That's a great question. Unfortunately, we don't know that answer. Fergus says, my partner and I suffer from depression. We often have scary demonic manifestations, which I think are drawn to us through our depression.
That's correct. And again, the reason I would say that's correct is because when we are in a state of depression, you know, we're down. So the frequency and vibration has now lowered, which makes us susceptible to demonic forces. And their agenda is to kill, rob, and destroy. It's as simple as that. So this is why it's so very important. And look, I would be a phony if I sat here and said, oh, my life, you know, I have the smile every day and everything is perfect. That would be a lie. We all have a set of issues and challenges in life. However, for me, I always keep God first, always. And so in my strong faith, God always makes a way for me. So I would suggest to you, to please draw closer to God. You can contact me and I'll give you a set of prayers that I say myself every single day. And that goes for anybody out there. I'll do anything I can to help to raise you up in your frequency and vibration so you can combat these types of things. We live in a world now that, boy, this demonic activity is more prevalent than ever before. So it's very important that we are prepared for battle against these demonic forces.
Right. Amelia Haunt, you've written a little novel there. Unfortunately, we're going to keep it focused on tonight's episode. I would love to talk to you and maybe even have you on an upcoming episode of Darkness Radio about your story. You can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I would love to see the photograph that you have, and I would love to hear your story and share it with our audience. And maybe I'll have Reverend Bean on that show as well, so he can be there to see if he can help you work through or understand what it is that you're experiencing. Bill, we need to take a quick break to pay the bills. We're going to do a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Darkness Radio. Back to the program. Thank you so much for spending your time with us here. It is a special edition of Darkness Radio Presents Holzer's Ghosts, The Devil in Texas. This is Holzer Files Season 1, Episode 4. I do want to let people know I'm taking next week off because I will be filming for the next 10 days, a special that I can't talk about yet. But when I can, I'll let you all know about it. I will be back in 2 weeks to reopen and start doing the deeper look case dives. But we're doing a little jumbling. You know, we started this season with season 2. We went on hiatus. I picked up doing season 1 to fill in these gaps. Season 2 is coming back, and season 2 will be available on Discovery Plus. And let's put up the right banner for that. Season 2 of the Holzer Files begins airing February 6th. That's Saturday, February 6th, 2021 on Discovery Plus. Many people asking, will it ever air on Travel Channel? I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's still a channel that has to show programs. Maybe after it airs on Discovery Plus, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months later, you'll see those episodes. But I'm not certain how that all works at this point. Again, this is a grand decision made by Discovery Channel. This is nothing that Shane, Cindy, Alexandra, Gabe, or I had any decision in. But we support the company that brings us to the table and allows us to do this work and continue these stories. So you can support us by signing up for Discovery Plus. It's $5 a month. You get all the great programming, plus there's commercials. For $7 a month, you get all this great programming, no ads. And you don't just get Travel Channel. You get all of the TV shows and networks under the Discovery blanket. So there are literally thousands upon thousands of hours. And you might be surprised just how many networks and shows are part of that that you love. So go try it out. There's a 7-day free trial. Try it out starting on February 6th to catch the new episode of Holzer Files when we re-kick off the end of season 2, when we've got, I think, 7 brand new episodes. One episode will drop every Saturday. Check it out for yourself. If you like it, stay on with it. If not, then at least you've tried, but I think you're going to be surprised at what you find. And I understand that these are trying times for many. Not everybody can do this. We understand and respect that as well. But thank you for following us along on this journey. I'll keep doing free episodes of Darkness Radio Presents Holzer's Ghosts talking about those cases. So you can still come along and watch me on my YouTube channels and Facebook channels. Just subscribe, follow on YouTube. Just hit the like and subscribe button. It costs you nothing. That way you're always getting updated when new videos are made available and updated. Today we're talking, as I said, about season 1, episode 4 of the Holzer Files, and it is the episode The Devil in Texas. The story, again, opening in Texas, Tyler, Texas, with the Baird family dealing with these possessions and horrific stories and attacks and things that were happening to their family. As I said at the beginning of this, and as you saw in the episode, concurrently, there was a story that was taking place, and I had a listener from Darkness Radio who had reached out begging me for help. And I had asked her, I said, "In this, Bill, this is the question I have to ask everybody. Who do you want me to send you to help?" And if their answers are Zach, Nick, Aaron, Billy, you know, Jason, Grant, Steve, anybody from TV show, I immediately throw their stuff. I say, "I can send you to somebody local that can try to help you." But if I know they're just reaching out to get on TV, no interest. And I asked her, I said, "Oh, what's going on?" She starts telling me about this, what she believes is demonic influence in her home. She has 2 small children. So that automatically puts her flag a little higher on my pole. And I listen to her and I go, "Who do you want to help you?" And she goes, "Dave, I'm desperate. I don't know who to talk to." Now, I don't believe this made the episode, but Bill, you and I know the story. She had reached out to somebody who claimed to be able to help her rid herself of this demon. She scraped together a considerable amount of money, and paid this person, who then told her, "Oh, this is a bigger case than I thought. This has got a deep root, and I've gotten rid of one, but there's many more here." And this person was fleecing Lydia and her family. He wasn't there to help. And that was creating even more mental duress for Lydia and her family, more stress and pressure to deal with. We didn't really talk about that, and we can't say the name of the person. I wish we could, because I love to call out assholes that are fleecing people. But again, there's slander and libel issues, and you have to be very cautious how you walk that line. This person also began soliciting her for inappropriate photographs, of which she did not give in. But this person seems much more demonically attached that was trying to help her. So when she told me this story and she said, "I don't care, Dave, just I need help." And then Holzer Files tells me about this kid. Like, I've got a woman, and they're like, "Would she do TV?" I go, "I don't know. I'd have to ask." And when I first talked to her about it, she was reticent. And I'm like, I will try to send somebody your way. I can guarantee you I can come with our team. And we can do this. And there is no charge to you to have the Holzer Files come examine this case." And she said, "Okay, then please do it." But it was reluctant, reticent, and she was not looking for attention. And you could tell throughout the entire episode, she was uncomfortable having this tale told, but she knew that it might help others. Yeah. And that was important to me. Now, there were different aspects of her story that, again, we know about, that were touched on briefly throughout the episode without direct contact. And this is why I wanted to mention this later. As I said, I'd get back to some of your questions in this segment as we discuss Lydia's case.
She suffered a lot.
She suffered a lot. She was abused through childhood by a few different people that she thought she could love and trust. She was abused as an adult by men that she thought she could love and trust.
And that's a pattern that repeats, Dave. It's a pattern that repeats from childhood.
So as she's telling me these heinous things that are happening to her, and you could see her insecurities and her. She never came out specifically and said it to me, Bill, but there were times she almost seemed like she was ready to say, I feel like I deserve this. Like, if all these people see this and treat me so crappy, I must be crap.
Yeah.
And she never said that, but you could see that that's kind of this emotional theater cover. Right.
That's and the mindset that the devil wants a victim in.
Right. And she was buying into what other people were doing to her. She had a very big heart. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
She still is. I want you to know that Bill keeps in touch with her. I kept in touch with her. Well, you know, 6, 7, 8 months after the episode to keep making sure she was okay. Because, you know, we didn't want to lose track of her. And when I knew that she continued contacting Bill, Bill has been the one reaching out and going back and forth. You know, she reaches out to Shane from time to time, Cindy and myself. So
but this would not have happened without you. You're the one that made this to happen. I want everybody to understand this and know that Dave cared enough about her that, you know, he took this seriously and then went the extra step to offer help. So without Dave Schrader in this thing, that there's no way she could have gotten help. Not for me anyway. Well, it wasn't me. It was God working through me.
We told production, there's no way we're going to, I'm going to do this case unless we can bring somebody that can help her. Because again, we're not, we're investigators. We can try to find out and corroborate, are you having activity? But if there is truly a demonic force here, we're all in danger. And I need somebody here who can spiritually kick this thing's ass and protect all of us.
Yeah.
And production was great. Our team at Painless Productions are amazing. Great love and support for all of us. And when they saw my true concern, and I said, I don't want this woman exploited. I don't want her story exploited, but it's powerful. And it's an amazing follow-up to what happened to Andy. So we met with Lydia. She had sent me photographs of bruising and scratches and scars. And part of me wondered, is this really supernatural or is she disassociating with somebody physical in her life and putting it on something she calls a demon?
Yeah.
And we have to, you have to examine these aspects of the case. You can't just take her at the word that it's a demon. Because we, you know, it's not like we walked in and there was a guy on the couch with horns and a tail smoking a pipe and, you know,
right.
Hey, welcome to the house. Right. I mean,
yeah.
We've got to explore all the different avenues. And Bill and I talked considerably about this before meeting with her that, you know, we need to make sure that she's mentally stable, that this isn't an imagination. And it wasn't that. She was definitely being afflicted and affected by something. Now that
and I can feel that, Dave. I really could. I mean, I can feel that the first night that we arrived there and I didn't even go in, you know, but I could feel it that strongly. So I knew that she was having some serious issues.
This thing had a deep hold on her. Now, here's the question I have for you, Bill. Somebody that is serially abused, mistreated, and that does this become a PK manifestation of the fears, the anxieties, the stressors, and depression. And then on top of it, she's a single mom with two children, feeling like she might be failing them in decisions she's making. Could this outwardly manifest from her seeming, which is how it started to look to us after a while, seeming as though it's demonic when it's really her kind of putting out to the universe what she expects and unfortunately drawing that negative to her?
Well, for me, it goes right back to the same steps and patterns of many others like Lydia that exhibit these types of things and have these types of stresses going on in life. The devil loves it. He capitalizes on these things. So he wants to see a person in a bad place. He'll either create a scenario to where that takes place or it just happens on its own. But whatever the case may be, when something takes place where you have all these pressures and stresses and this repeated pattern of abuse in mind, body, and spirit, that is just beating the person down and lowering them and wearing them down to the point. And once they're to that point, sometimes people consider suicide. Like you said earlier, it's absolutely the truth. I can't tell you how many times in my cases that a person was that low, they were beaten down that far that they saw no alternative. And I praise God for this, that in some of these cases, they were flipping through the channels and happened to see me on one of these shows or were listening to your show and heard you mention me or something like that. And then God made that connection and God worked through me to save that person. And I thank God for that. But I can't tell you how many times that has taken place. So in saying this to you and in knowing what I have personally experienced in some of these cases, I truly believe that it was a textbook case for the devil to manipulate and exploit the situation that Lydia was in and has been in and had been in, you know, since childhood, and being a victim and being abused. So it was this repeated pattern of abuse and destruction that the devil, he was really capitalizing on it. And again, I'm just so thankful that she's on the other side of it now. I'm so happy for her. I haven't heard from her probably in about, well, you know, I say that to you, Dave, but I got a text from her today after you and I talked. That was the first time I'd heard from her in a while, but I am so, so happy for her that she's doing well in her life now.
That's awesome. Sweet Southern Medium asks, do you ever worry about the demons attaching to you or the crew members? Yes. I'm especially worried when it comes to Cindy, who goes in wide open to try to communicate with these spirits. Yeah. Obviously, Shane and I are there. What you don't see oftentimes is I do have Benedictine medallions on my wrist. I've got a crucifix around my neck under my shirt or around my wrist. I've got Benedictine rings. I've got blessed objects that I take with me on every investigation to try to take care of that. I do a lot of prayer and meditation before an investigation, a lot of prayer and meditation after an investigation, because I do value my family's security and safety. And absolutely. But I'm always worried about, you know, we're always worried about the cast and crew, and that's an important aspect.
You got a spiritual warrior praying for you all the time too. I pray for you often, and for Shane and Cindy.
Thank you very much. What is this comment? Ghost freaking talking. Misery loves company. That's true. You know, these demonic low-level scum-sucking beings just feed off of this depression and this anxiety, and you become a buffet. Now,
very true.
As we're investigating this, and I start hearing all these attacks physically that she's had from humans, and then I start lining it up with what she's seeing, and I see her self-esteem level low. I'm not doubting that there's something supernatural there. And I just rewatched the episode tonight, Bill, and I'm kicking myself. Her grandmother had passed away, somebody she loved very much and was very close with. I think that's who was there with us when we did our baseline investigation, the one that was kind of telling us she's there with Lydia. She's there to protect and watch. But I think she's only one spirit. And you've got all the rest of this shit storm swirling around poor Lydia that she's trying to deal with. Now, we did something controversial in this episode by bringing her into the investigation. But, you know, sometimes in investigating, you have to realize that when you remove a component of a haunting and then expect the haunting to take place, it's like removing a spark plug from a car and trying to turn it over. You get nothing. Right? Or it misfires. You get peripheral stuff, but nothing's happening. I wanted to bring her in and I wanted to challenge a concept I had of how much of this is PK projection, psychokinetic projection, right? Which some believe is what poltergeist activity is, because a lot of PK activity, it's nonsensical activity. It doesn't define as a ghost so much. It's not just the ghostly manifestations. It's you come into a room and the chairs are stacked up. Cabinet doors are all open. You walk back and they're closed. Things change, but none of it's malevolent or violent. It's just bizarre. To me, those are kind of the, kind of anarchy PK that's taking place. But it can frighten you, which could then make you the light bulb that draws the moths of demonic gesture to you. But we started doing the investigation. They didn't show the full spectrum of how intense it got when I was challenging her. She was talking about some terrifying things, and her voice would never get over this as she was talking about it. And I'm like, she's – and then if you remember in the episode, Cindy says, you're feeling this choking, and that's your throat chakra. You're holding something back. You need to let it out. You need to address this so that you can have this communication and understand what it is that you're dealing with. And as I'm watching her, she's, I'm very mad and I'm angry and I want it gone. I started getting her amped up. And I was picking at her and poking at her. And you don't see a lot of it because I was using the names of the people that were being abusive to her. And I was getting her agitated. And what was wild is, you know, we've got all these meters. And as I'm getting her agitated, it's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boy, this is a direct manifestation. This is direct PK between me and her. This one unit is sitting there and it's pinging every time she's getting pissed at me. And at one point, they don't show it, but I was yelling. I'm like, God damn it. Tell me how you feel. Let it out. You can't hold it in. And she screamed and everything pinged. And I mean, not just that, other tools we had laying around. So we were getting a lot of hyperkinetic activity.
Yeah.
So why didn't you show that? Because again, we were incorporating names in certain situations. So out of respect to Lydia, we didn't get definable about what those situations were, but I wanted her to bring it out. And when she did, there was this calming relief. And that's when Cindy said, I think you've got some abilities, man. I think you've got some mediumistic psychic ability. That's why you're picking, you're feeling all of this. You're dealing with all of the tensions that you've had. You've always been this sensitive, empathic kind of human being to begin with, which is going to draw things to you negatively and of the light as well. And maybe, you know, because we find out a lot of people that are abused ritually are empathic, right? They become the energy source for these vampire sucking shitheads that are attracted to them. So she's got this innate ability. She's, you know, she's doing this. And we showed her, look at the power. And then at the one point, it was all of our other cameras are fine. And the two stationary cameras that we've got that are filming are both glitch out when she's getting focused and irritated. And that's why I said, we need to reel this back. I need to look over our equipment, look over our evidence that we've captured here tonight and figure out what we're dealing with. And she said, okay.
And we put up Dave, I saw a lot of things too. When I was on the outside watching those screens, I saw a lot of activity taking place there with what I believed were some type of, whether they were demonic or some other type of presence there. I don't know. I do believe some of it was demonic, but like you said, it very well could have been her grandmother. And look, I don't pretend to understand this, but I do believe that God does allow our loved ones to come back and check in on us from time to time and even spend some time with us. However, that's dangerous too, because when the loved one comes through, there can be, when the doorway opens like that, these demons can come through the doorway behind our long lost loved one. And then they can become a familiar spirit, which is an impersonator of that dear long lost loved one.
And I want to focus on this. And I know we've got a bunch of mediums in the room and friends of us and of the show. Make things right in this lifetime with the people you love, so you don't need to call on a medium to make those connections afterward. Make things right. Forgive, love, forget, move on. Even if it's breaking, it's okay. You can do those changes and you should, because you deserve it. You deserve better than that. And you deserve to give yourself the gift of forgiveness and forgive yourself for the angers and resentments you've held towards other people. That will free you from so much of this negativity. So that was part of dealing with her as well and dealing with these issues. Marissa Spencer asks or says, we need to believe people when they tell us about their experiences. They will feel more isolated and afraid if they feel they cannot talk about it. And you're right, 100%, Marissa. That's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because if we just roll over these things like they don't exist, you devalidate people. Even if you think they might be mental, sometimes it's just them needing to speak it out. That's why when you have somebody who's dealing with depression and maybe you get frustrated because this person's always depressed, if you're in fix mode, which most of us are, right? Bill and I, we love people. We want to make things right for you. If you come to me with depression, I want to fix it for you. Come on, buddy, let's do this. We'll buck up. We'll That's not always what's needed. Sometimes what's needed is for you to just sit down and put your arm around your buddy and say, I love you and I'm here. And all I'll do is listen. And sometimes they just need to vomit and exercise that nonsense out of themselves. And that can let the healing begin.
Dave, what you're saying there is applicable in a lot of my deliverances. Well, really in all of them, I incorporate this. So what I do, and again, it's by the power of God, but I do, upon God's direction, change it for each person to whatever that may be. But the common thing that I do in these deliverances is I will ask the person to close their eyes and visualize all of these terrible, horrible things so we can get them up and out and off. So it's exactly as you're describing it there. We have to have a purging in order for the person to be free from these things so they can be light and move forward without the junk.
Hey, take pen and paper could be one of your most powerful tools when dealing with these things. Think about it. When you read a book real quick in school and you were supposed to remember things, you couldn't. But if you took a notepad and pen and wrote down the notes and things you thought might be covered on the test, it locked it in more. That's the same with expelling things. Write out that letter of hatred and anger and anxiety to somebody. Take it, fold it up, put it outside. You know, earlier this year, Bill, I don't know if I told you this, I found my biological father through Ancestry.com.
You didn't tell me this.
My family. And it was amazing because for years I've been led to believe this other prick was my biological father. He was a horrible, hateful man. When I reached out to him, did nothing but threaten my life and was just abusive. And for years I've kept these letters, these hate-filled, rage-filled letters, because it was at least something I had of him. And cathartically, I took those letters out. I prayed to God. I lit them on fire and I watched them burn and I gave it back. And I said, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And I forgive this. And that was the end of it. And the sick thing was, this guy thought he was my dad too. So it wasn't like he was defending himself. I'm not your dad. Wow. You're a piece of shit. Get out. He knew or really believed he was. And thank God in heaven that it wasn't him. I found my real biological father who loved and accepted me immediately. Within finding out 2 weeks later, I was at his house in Florida prior to this COVID outbreak. I got to meet my father, hug my father and two of my lovely sisters and start this new life. And I can't wait to meet the other siblings I have that I didn't get a chance to meet at that point. But I let go with those letters, those hate, rage-filled letters that hurt my heart and soul for so long.
Yeah.
And man, it felt so good. So you write down the things that upset you and give them to flame and give it away.
And again, you didn't tell me this, and I praise God that it worked out the way that it has. And that you must have felt 1,000 pounds lighter after releasing all of that.
Sadly, due to COVID, I'm about 300 pounds heavier, but spiritually,
you look great.
I feel better. You know, we captured these growling noises. It would be easy to jump and you're cautious as well. Not everything is a demon.
Right.
Sometimes what people perceive to be evil is not. Was this growling noise truly something demonic, or was it this frustration in her? Because she would get that growl noise would happen as she was getting more agitated in answering my questions. So again, I think part of that is a projection on the part of the victim dealing with these things, calling them forward. And it was only when we called forward the emotions that we got that. It was almost like an interior monologue being played out and heard. So we addressed this with her. We talked to her, and you know what I thought was great was that we tag teamed her. Right, we gave her the 1-2 punch to try to put her on the straight and narrow. First of all, our team got there to go, listen, what you have is a gift and a blessing. The abilities and things that you have don't have to be a curse. Don't have to hang you down. Now that you understand them, and you start to cut ties with the negativity, give away these things and focus on improving, that's going to be it. Then we brought her to you at the church. Uh-huh. The local church in town there allowed us to come in knowing full well what we were doing. They allowed you to do, and people at the end of the episode, you see a minute of Reverend Bean working on this woman. it was well over an hour of heavy prayer and work that was done on her and cleansing her, getting her to let go. And how beautiful was her turnaround after that?
Made my day, that's for sure. And anytime, whether it's Lydia or anybody out there that God's worked through me to help, I can't put it into words the feeling, the great feeling that I have and that I get in knowing that the person is okay and they're going to be okay. It's the greatest feeling in the world for me. So how can I not endlessly thank God and praise God for these things? And if you remember back, you were present, you took some photographs.
Yes.
It was intense. And I could feel, by the power of God working through me, I could feel that garbage releasing her and leaving her and loosing her. And it really was a turning point of her life because she is doing so well now. And I'm just overjoyed for her. And I continue to pray for her that she'll just move forward in each and every day in this new chapter, new season that she has embarked on in her life. It's great for her. It's great for her children and the significant other that she has in her life. It's all win-win. And when a person's on the other side, it's all lose-lose. So by the power of God, we have flipped that around and she is doing well. And I know you and I are very much alike in that we take it personally. We love people. We want to see people do well. And I'm sure just as I say that it has, you know, lifted my spirit and brought me joy, it's got to be the same for you.
It really is. And Carl Van Horn sends this over. He says, some people need to be led back to the light after the darkness take over their life. And I agree with that. And again, this wasn't something that I did. This wasn't something that Bill did. This was something that through the grace of God brought us together to help this woman out. And we were able to help her exercise her own demons because, again, we empowered her to do this with her faith. We reinstilled her faith. We reinstilled her belief in herself. And that's what really turned this around. And literally, Bill, it was within a week I started getting these beautiful, loving notes from her about how much better she felt. Within a couple months, she met a really nice guy.
Yep.
And I think we filmed that a year and a half ago. I think she's with the same guy still.
She is. Yep.
And it's, I see beautiful pictures of her out in a wilderness with him and they're out doing things and they're experiencing life and she's grabbed her gifts and has made something remarkable of them. I am so proud of her and what she has accomplished. And I'm again, thankful to you that you stepped in and Bill mentions he was there. We didn't tell her and we didn't broadcast. He came in for the end, but he was on set all the time in case something went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And he did a prayer for us and helped clear us and specifically me and did what he had to do to help us out. And Bill and I have been friends for a long time, so he wanted to make sure of that. So, you know, and he's good. He's like the Jiffy Lube of the supernatural because he'll call you every 3 months and go, hey, brother, let's do a prayer together and make sure we're keeping this thing updated and keeping you healthy spiritually. So he's been a great guy and I haven't been always as good about getting back to him as I should.
You're a busy guy.
It's crazy, but I'm glad that we did. So we've got a lot of that out of the way. Are there any other specific questions from the audience that they have about this episode, about dealing with the demonic that we can try to add in? Our friend Natalie Jones pops in. Hi, Natalie. Good to see you. Betty Allen, thank you for helping all involved. It was definitely our pleasure. Tyra Clark, this is beautiful. And thank you so much for what y'all did and are continuing to do. Again, if you have questions, I will try to address them. But I want people to know, Chris Larson says, I just tuned in. What's that on your head, Dave? It's my hat, man. It's my Samuel L. Jackson hat. Or my,
I like it.
Yeah, you know what? The issue is I haven't shaved my noggin yet, and I'm all spiky on top. I look like a Peanuts character, so I just figured I'd go Samuel L. Jackson on this bit tonight. If you are in need of help and you don't know where to turn, you can reach out. SpiritualWarriorBillBean.com is the website. I'm going to have that link up in today's program guide, so you can find that as well. You can always email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I do shoot these things over to Bill. Now, with that said, I do want to address something that sadly part of TV has made very controversial, but I want to talk about this. It's like people believe mediums should do their work for free because it's a gift from God. Some mediums do. Maybe they're in a position that they can, but you don't understand what you're not paying for. You're not paying for the message that they're giving you. You're paying for their time, and time is money. Unfortunately, they have to give up an hour to do your reading to help you feel better, to understand or make these connections. So what you're doing is you're actually paying for their time. Reverend Bean had to give up his regular job.
Yeah,
because there is such a calling for people begging for help to be freed from dark forces. And it sounds ludicrous to many people, but, you know, a lot of people make bad choices and, you know, get involved with alcohol, drugs, and different divination items that can really bring things on. And then once they're drowning, they're calling out. Bill does not. He charges to come out and help, but it's to get him there, to put him up while he's there.
So not that get the rich off of anybody, that's for sure.
Right. But I wanted to make that known so that I don't get emails. Oh, you know, he charges. Yes, I know he charges, but he's not Bruce Wayne. You know,
and I'm glad you're bringing this up, brother. I really am, because and I've spoken about this before. If I were independently wealthy, I wouldn't charge anybody a dime. Furthermore, I've done as much free work for people as I have charged work. The only reason I charge is because I don't have a church behind me. I don't have any steady financial contributors or stream behind me. So in the beginning, when I started this, I was doing it for free, and I was traveling all over the country on my own dime. And that quickly affected my finances. My wife and I we could have been in financial dire straits very quickly. And so not long after that, a person that I helped, Melinda, who's now my assistant, it was really her. She was the catalyst in this. She said, look, if you don't start charging for your services, you're not going to be able to sustain this. And she was correct. And that's how it all started. So this is my full-time job. I wish I was independently wealthy and I didn't have to charge anybody a dime. But this is why I charge. So for anybody out there that would say this to you, Dave, you know, why does he charge? Well, this is why.
And it's just because he is literally gone half the year, if not more, helping families. And then he needs to go back home and recharge. And you can't hold a real job down doing the work that Bill does. And when he said he doesn't have a church behind him, it means he's not like the Roman Catholic Church is not the one sending him out. He is a reverend. He does his work and his studies, but he's doing this on his own to help people, because many churches are not prepared to help. Many religious leaders are not prepared to help. That is changing. You know, when we started doing Darkness Radio, Bill, there were a handful of exorcists in the United States and around the world. Mm-hmm. Since this show began, we have reported on it through the years. The Vatican opened up exorcism schools and started training exorcists in droves because they knew something dark and malevolent was out there and they needed to deal with it. Jeremy Michael asks, when you exorcise a demon out of someone, Bill, do you ever come across the same demon somewhere else?
Yeah. And again, the devil mimics everything that God does, and he puts a vulgar twist on it. And he does have a kingdom and a hierarchy or lowarchy, however you want to look at it, but he's imitating God. So there are these host of demons that do turn up in different places and with different individuals from time to time. One case is coming to mind right now in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, 2017. Unbelievable. I mean, that lady must have had 20 or more demons in her, and I had to bind and rebuke and cast out one right after the other. And as soon as I was casting one out, another one would appear, and with it, sometimes a name, sometimes in a voice, and I'm binding and rebuking and casting out. So yes, to answer that question, some of these demons can appear. Now, what I do is when I'm binding and rebuking and casting out, I will use God's name, which is Yahweh. And I'll say, by the mighty power of Yahweh, in Jesus' name, I bind and rebuke you and command you to depart at once. So I have to be authoritative in all things at all times. And then I ask for God's giant warrior angels to come and take those demons into custody and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell. Doesn't mean that they stay there. They have a way of getting back and coming back, but it's the same thing with closing portals. I do this as I'm going through the home. I declare that every portal to Satan and his demons are now closed, shut, locked, chained, and padlocked. And yet, at some point, these things can open again. And whether it is over the land, over the home, to the sides of the home, under the home, or in the home somewhere, they can reopen. So yes, it's long-winded in answering this question, but yes, these same types of demons can appear in different people in different cases.
Janet, I'm looking back through the comments and questions, and I'm not seeing it. Unfortunately, some of this goes back and forth so quickly. So I'll try to find your post, but Betty Allen asks, have you seen connections between those that have experienced severe trauma and those with extreme paranormal experiences or being drawn to places with existing paranormal issues? And yeah, we did cover that in the beginning of the show, that sometimes those become the trough to which the demonic begin to feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Here it is. I think Janet says, I remember one night I was sleeping and thought my boyfriend got in bed. I could feel him moving. And when I turned over, he wasn't there, but someone was. Mm. That's a terrifying moment. I don't know if you have another question or a post in here, Janet. I'm trying to scroll back. There's so many different comments and questions coming through. So I apologize if there's more to the story. You could reach out to me, dave@darknessradio.com, if you're dealing with something, and I'll pass it on to Reverend Bean. Or do you have a direct email that's best for them to reach out to you, Bill?
Yeah, Bean, B-E-A-N, beanoffice@yahoo.com.
Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Marissa, when one has empathetic abilities, it can open you up to being abused. The gentle soul never expects to be treated badly because they would never do it to another. That's right. That becomes a big problem. That's why a major aspect of depression comes in, because you think, why would somebody do this to me? I would never do that to them. And unfortunately, you're measuring them by the yardstick of your own life and your own expectations.
Well, this goes all the way back to the Bible, Dave, to the beginning in Genesis, when Cain treated his brother Abel terribly and he slew his brother. So it's that pattern that repeats and goes all the way back to there.
How do people live with having multiple demons attached?
Well, they're not living, they're existing, and they're surviving, and some just barely surviving. And again, I think that it gets to a point with these people that they realize either they're going to just give up and be totally overtaken, and it could cost them their life, and certainly could cost them their sanity. I believe there's a lot of people in mental institutions that are incredibly demon-filled. Or secondly, they'll decide that they're going to reach out and get help, and someone like me will come along, and God working through them to free them from it. And in some cases, instantaneous, the person never had a problem again. In other cases, I've been back 3, 4, and even 5 times to the same person, because it's very difficult, Dave, and I can attest to this through personal experience. When a person is under that level of attack, and I was there, you are living in the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living and operating. And when you're doing that, man, the bad stuff is going to continue because it keeps the door open. So it is my job, not only as a spiritual warrior, but as a counselor as well, to help the person to develop a new mindset, in which is what I call warrior mode, walking in faith, strength, and courage. So you eliminate the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living and trade it for the warrior mode way of life. And then all of a sudden things change and you'd never look back.
Empowering yourself. That's a big key to this, folks. You can live a life of being victimized, or you can start to stand up and regain your power through God, through yourself and belief. So that's another method. Martin asks, how difficult is it on you physically, Reverend Bean, to cast out a demon?
Well, that's a great question, Martin. And I'll say this, there have been times, and again, reflecting back to the case in 2017, which was probably one of the most severe cases, or maybe the most severe case. I recall leaving that, and believe you me, this went in late into the night. And I recall leaving there, and I ended up in a diner in New Jersey, and I had my head in my hands like this. And I just, and I praise God for bringing a rejuvenation upon me, because when you're doing this kind of work, it is exhausting. And when it's over with, you are absolutely completely wiped out. You don't have anything left. And then I have to rely on God to recharge me and replenish me.
Here's a tough question. Heather asks, can you address addiction? And I'm guessing you mean addiction and its connections to the diabolical. I can tell you this, you know, if, you know, there are many places like bars and locations that are very haunted. And the belief system is that these spirits love to just feed off of you and sometimes will possess you without your knowing. And because you're resilience is so lowered during this time that they will actually get in and affect you that way. And once you're getting in, I mean, that's what they want. They want to break you down.
Well, it's a lowering of the frequency and vibration again. So if we are under the influence of alcohol and or a drug, we are lowering our frequency and vibration. And look, I saw this in my father's life. He's no longer with us, but, you know, I saw it. I saw how he was taken over when he was under the influence. Furthermore, there was a time in my life when I was a young man to where I grew up on the streets and I drank and I used drugs. And I knew in my own case that when I came under the influence, I was somebody else. And so I know for a fact that what I'm saying here is true. And so I caution people. Look, there's nothing wrong with having a social drink or two. If you're having, you want a glass of wine or you want a beer or whatever, I'm not telling you that you can't have that. But it is when you have, you know, multiple, five, six, seven, eight, a dozen, whatever it may be. Now you're inebriated. You're under the influence. And boy, oh boy, that's a dangerous place to be.
Nina Johnson pops in. She's been a good friend of mine for a long time on here. And I know when her and her husband a few years back reached out, I put them in touch with you. She says, hey guys, Jeff and I wanted to say hello and a big thank you to both Dave for sending us to Bill and Bill for making such a quick trip to us and for the amazing blessing we received. I don't know where I'd be or still going through were it not for your prayers, house blessings, and your talks and individual blessings. You are the real deal, my friend, a true warrior.
Well, Nina, you made my night here. Love Jeff and you and your children. And it was an honor and a pleasure to be there. And I praise God for working through me to help you. And I am just overjoyed that you're doing well. And we're going to have to talk soon. And just thank you so much for messaging.
Ansley says, do demons call out your weaknesses or aspects of your life that are private in an attempt to stop the exorcism? I want to say one thing. I was witness to this. And again, I didn't know if that was just Hollywood machinations creating these, you know, points, but I was doing an investigation at Bobby Mackey's in Kentucky there.
Yeah.
They have the hell hole, the portal to hell. And I'm like, it's a sump pump hole. I'll climb into it. I'm not afraid. Right. And Debbie Constantino, bless her soul, jumped in with me and we're standing there. And earlier that day, another, holy man had been there. I'm treading on this very cautiously. He had been there and started screaming and ranting and tore his collar off and was throwing holy water around and literally cursing these spirits and such. And what's funny is equipment throughout the entire building, people had all these devices, speaker boxes and such that are independent of one another. And they kept saying fake priest, fraud, fake fraud, priest. So they were calling him out. Well, when we're down there, I asked, you know, how did you feel about the priest down here earlier today screaming and throwing holy water? And this guttural voice comes out of the spirit box and calls him an effing, it's a homosexual slur.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, oh boy, you're not pulling any punches here. And at that point, one of the other investigators leaned forward and said, you do know he's homosexual, right? And I said, no. And he goes, yeah. So this thing was calling out the priest. He was calling him out in a big way. And it was, he was, whether it was a, just a really pissed off ghost or it was a demon, it was making sure the world knew this guy's idiosyncrasies.
Wow. And again, and
I, let me say that. I want to apologize. Being a homosexual is not idiosyncrasy. It's not something to be cast away like that. I'm just saying, you know, it's looking for little things that, that
personal, personal with that person. Yeah. I'll say this, in all of my experiences, and I've had some heavy duty cases, I have never once had, and I praise God for this, I've never once had a demon or demons speak to me in that manner. Now, usually what I do, and this is the way I have to keep control of the situation. So by the power of God, I have faith and I'm empowered. So therefore I have, a ferocity. So when I enter into a situation, I'm in charge, I'm in control. And I could say that by the power of God, not by my own accord. So it's saying that when I go into these situations, if a demon tries to talk to me, like I've had, you know, some of these cases to where the demon or demons, multiple voices would say, you know, F you, she's ours or he's ours and you'll never get them and God can't have them and all these types of things. But nothing personal to me about my personal life or anything like that. And when something tries to come in and say these things, I have to take immediate power and authority over it and then it stops. So as a spiritual warrior, I have to be in control at all times. I cannot lose my composure. I cannot have any level of fear whatsoever, because if I allow myself to be taken over by fear at any point, it's over with. It's over with for me. It's over with for the person or persons that I'm trying to help. That's what the devil's looking for. So I have to remain in control at all times.
Ben is asking a question again. This is a controversial question. I don't know that any of us have a direct answer for. So schizophrenic people might be demon possessed. Here's what we do know, Ben. There have been case studies where people that are reportedly, and let's define schizophrenic and multiple personality disorder and dissociative disorder. There are many different things that are kind of lumped under one umbrella, and it's hard to define any one of these. But sometimes people that are having mental breakdowns become more susceptible to influence. Sometimes people are just having mental breakdowns and
yes,
they're hearing voices, hallucinations, and they're having voices and hallucinations. So it's impossible to say. And I know you asked earlier, Ben, so what? Schizophrenic people must die. Well, if a demon is trying to influence them, that's kind of the end game, right? They want to break you and break one of the biggest sins that, you know, theologians have been touting for years, is that if you take your life, that's a major sin because it's an atrocity to God. I want to say right now, for those of you that have been affected by suicide like I have, I do not believe in a God that would be that cold and callous to send somebody to hell for taking their own life, because he knows that they were not in the mental state that they, you know, when they made that decision. And he's not going to punish somebody because they have mental issues and that. So for the love of all things holy, folks, don't beat yourselves up. Don't fear that your loved one is burning in hell because they made that choice. That is not what God is.
And I'm glad you're saying this, Dave, because I've prayed so many times, unfortunately, you know, in my travels and the people that I deal with, or people connected to them, or just people that message me, some of those people have loved ones or whatever that have committed suicide. And it's a horrible thing. And I always pray that God will have mercy on them and understanding. And I believe that he does. So I have to agree with you on that, that our God loves us. He created us. He's the creator of all things. He does love us. Does he want us to take our life? No, I don't believe that. However, there are circumstances that, you know, a person just has no other way and had no means to meet somebody that could come in and God could work through to help. So I always pray for people like that. And I pray that God has mercy and forgiveness. And I believe that he does.
And I'm sorry, I think it might have been Cindy Brown that asked earlier. And if it's not, I'm going to attach it to you. Have you ever done an exorcism that did not work?
No, never an exorcism. You know, there have been cases that I've gone to and then either had to go back or a person will say, well, no, it's back again. And then I stay involved with that person. I had a person recently send me a nasty message, and that really, really hurt me because it happens so rarely. And I don't understand it because I tried to keep in touch with this person. But she sent me a message saying, you know, I'm having these problems again and you're a phony and all this kind of stuff. And it really hurt me to my heart and my spirit. And I messaged her and still would offer help. I don't understand why. And I will say this, Dave, when I perform these exorcisms and deliverances and in all the exorcisms, I've never had anyone come back and say that it didn't work or whatever. But sometimes in these spiritual deliverances, things will come back. And the reason they will come back, one of the reasons anyway, is that the person abandons the advice that I give to them. I give them like a playbook. After this is over with, I say, please say these prayers every single day for the rest of your life without fail. Make sure that you're keeping God first. Look, you're not perfect. You're not going to become perfect. We're all sinners in some way, but God loves us in spite of ourselves. But if we have and develop a true and authentic relationship with God, then he will have blessing on us. He will have favor on us. He will have protection on us, and he will have empowerment that will come through us. And some people, it takes them a while to get there, to get out of that fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living into the warrior mode way. And so those people, I try to make myself available to the people that say, you know, hey, I'm still having problems. I do anything and everything that I can to help these people. But boy, that message that I got really hurt me to my heart and spirit because I cared about that person and really wanted to help her. And just, I still don't understand that.
And you understand, Bill, this most likely is not her that's speaking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it still hurts you just to see the message like that, because like you know, I put so much of myself out there to help others. I mean, and you know this, and you've gone through the same things. I've gone days without sleep because I'm traveling here and helping people and then awake all night because I've performed these exorcisms and I have to get back on a plane and travel back and get ready for another trip. There have been times that I was so exhausted that I just had to just sit and try and collect my thoughts and regenerate just to be able to focus on the next client and the next trip. So right. I put 100% of myself into this. And when you get a most 99% of the messages are, you know, wonderful and it makes my day. But when you get that one message like that, oh, it's terrible.
Well, fortify your heart, brother, and knowing that this person most likely slipped, was not as diligent, because it's easy to get weak. And that this thing is screwing with you. It just wants you to feel like a failure to make you begin to question your authority and question what you can do. So be aware of that. I'm going to ask a very controversial question as a follow-up to what you just said, but I'll do that in a second. I want to remind people, if you are new to the show, you're watching the live stream on my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter, my YouTube channel. I'm the host of Darkness Radio. You can hear us 3 days a week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we only do these special ones Thursday night. It becomes a podcast episode on Friday to air. But you can find us on any platform for podcasting. Just look up Darkness Radio. But Dave, why darkness? Why do you have to come from a place of dark? The actual show is called Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Because in every town and every village around the world, there's always that creepy element just on the fringe parts of our town and world. And that's what we talk about on the show. And people remember darknessradio.com a lot more than Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.com. So that's why. But remember, From the darkness comes the light. And that's what we try to provide to you every week on this program. So go subscribe. It's free. You can subscribe to the show and never miss the best in paranormal talk radio. So check that out. And Bill, let's let you shine. You also have a show. How can people hear you?
Oh, thank you, brother. And I want you on that show soon. I know you're busy, but I hope that you'll come on.
You got it.
Anytime. You just let me know what's good for you and we'll book it. It'll be my honor and pleasure to have you on. The show's called Warrior Mode. It's not a big show like Darkness Radio. It's a little show, but we're growing. And comes on every Sunday at 7 p.m. And it's broadcast on YouTube through the Kev Baker Show in Glasgow, Scotland. And it's a blessing. It really is. I enjoy it. Kev Baker and Travis Short are a part of the show with me. And I really, really, we have interviewed a wide array of people, you know, from the paranormal world to the professional wrestling world to the rock music world. You know, we have we've covered it all and we'll continue to do so. And boy, just let me know, Dave, when you're available, because I'd love to have you on. You're in my brand new book, and I thank you for that. I truly appreciate it. I have a new book coming out, Stranger Than Fiction 2. And I think this version is going to be better than the first. And Dave Schrader is a part of that book, and I'm so happy and honored that he is a part of it. And we have some other fascinating people as well that contributed to the book. So I think it's just going to be a real winner.
And when the book comes out, we'll have you back on Darkness Radio proper, and we'll do a whole nother show. Look, we've already gone 1 hour, 25 minutes. Normally we do about an hour and 10 minutes. This has been so good. We've had so much. I'm gonna ask you the hard question.
Okay.
You talked about the fact that you have to fortify, you have to do these things to make yourself right.
Yeah.
Why are so many people that are religious afflicted by the demonic realm then? People that you would think, why isn't this person protected? Why don't they have God's blessing or grace and not go through this? How do we address that for the people out there that are thinking, I go to church every Sunday, Bill. I try to live a good life, but I still am being manipulated and have things affecting me.
My best answer for this, and I'm not judging anybody. I love everybody. I have nothing against anybody. However, my best answer would be that for me, I have to keep God first in my life. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, and I don't claim to be perfect. I make mistakes just like everybody else, but I really, in my life, every single day of my life, I try to do the best that I can do and be the best that I can be every day. That starts with God. So when my eyes open, the moment my eyes open, I thank God and praise God for the day, and then I get on my knees and pray. That's how I start my day every single day of my life without fail, and it will be that way for the rest of my life. So this is a commitment, and it has to be an unwavering commitment. So if you're doing this, you're activating the power of God over your life from the moment you open your eyes throughout your day, and many times, and Dave can tell you this, many times I'm up till 5, sometimes 6 a.m. in the morning before I get to bed. I don't care how tired I am. I end it by praying again. And in that, I declare victory in the day. I declare victory in each and every day of my life, and I will do so for the rest of my life. And again, my life is not without challenge. It is not perfect. However, my life is 50 times more blessed than it has ever been cursed. And I can never thank God and praise God enough for that.
Season 2 of the Holzer Files begins airing February 6th, 2021 on Discovery Plus. You'll be able to see it there. Please go watch. We have 7 more amazing episodes. Truly an amazing series this season. And I think you're going to love it. 7 more episodes begin airing every Saturday beginning on February 6th. Before we leave, Reverend Bean, I've had a bunch of people private message me and ask on our way out of the show tonight, can you give a blessing prayer to everybody that listens to this show and is listening right now to keep everybody safe and protected going forward?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you again, brother, for having me. It's always great to be with you. You're my dear friend, your brother, and I'll be there for you anytime. And that goes for your family as well. And I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in tonight. I truly appreciate it. And I appreciate your support for that man right there, Mr. Schrader. So without further ado, let us pray. We'll end it on this. And Father, thank you, praise you for this blessed and appointed time. And Father, I've really enjoyed this dialogue with Dave and with everybody that has participated in the show tonight. And I ask you to please bless them and keep them in your hedge of protection 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for life. Furthermore, Father, I ask that you have your giant warrior angels come and remove any demons that might be in, on, or around them. And I ask for your giant warrior angels to take them into custody and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell where they belong. Furthermore, Father, I ask you to bless each and every person that is partaking in this right now with an abundance of love, peace, joy, good health, and prosperity for life. Bless their coming in and bless their going out and make their enemies to flee from them in seven different directions. Father, we give you the praise and the thanks and the glory for everything forevermore in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, we also ask that you give strength, patience, and wisdom to Shane Pittman from the Holzer Files as he is dealing with the slow loss of his father dealing with cancer. We wish he could be here with us, but Lord, we just ask that you lift him up and his family to deal with this loss and give them all strength and make this passing easy. We pray this in your name. Amen. Glory. Thank you all for tuning in. Be safe. Love one another. Tune into Darkness Radio next week. We will not do a Holzer's Ghost next week. I'll be off filming, but I will be back the week after. We're going to have some fun when we do that again. Make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube page and like it so that you never miss an episode. Go subscribe to Darkness Radio, never miss a podcast. And thank you all for spending your time with us here tonight on Darkness Radio.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.